This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, Joe Pato, and Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Tyler, Joe, and Doug for another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are here in week two, ready to cover all the games with our Dynasty spin on everything. I am your host, Doug Eddy. I am here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther, and Joe Pano. How are you boys been this week? Joe, I know that your wife had her birthday this week. Did you guys do anything special?
Oh, we did. We did a lot of special things, and we had a great time. Thanks for asking. Hey-o. Yeah, we had a good time. No, number five is not on the way. Cross your fingers. But we did have a good time. Thank you for asking, Mr. Dougie.
Hey, you're welcome. Tyler, what's new with you this week? I know it's been a week of ups and downs as far as emotions go, but how you doing?
I am great. I am fantastic. Like Doug said, the elephant in the room, we'll just get right out of the way. DynastyHappyHour.com is shut down for now. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to say much, but just for now. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I'm definitely going to take the football time to focus on the podcast, you know, the open bar, trying to push the video content more for that. I want these podcasts to be kind of a go-to for people. And I think Tim Torch, we've been talking, he might put out a waiver wire podcast for Dynasty Happy Hour every week. Just going to base it off waiver wire, waiver pickups for redraft, and possibly for Dynasty. He could throw some of those in there, but that is something we are talking about. We want to become strong with the audio. The reason why I shut down DynastyHappyHour.com is because I want to give you guys my all in the website, and I didn't have the time to do that. I struggled editing. Behind the scenes, it was just me. Before, it was Tim Keller, and he had his new job, so he couldn't. So that put it all on me, and having two kids, it became too much. So I stepped back from DynastyHappyHour.com. I feel good, but like I said, just, you know, don't get too disappointed. That's all I'll say.
Well, Tyler, you are truly the wind beneath my wings. So we appreciate all you've done for the Happy Hour website. And well, you'll keep us posted with any kind of updates as we go through the season here, I'm sure.
I'm a little concerned though. What are these kids of yours doing? Put them to work. They should be editing and stuff like that. Like, come on, man.
Well, we have a 6-month-old that is teething and a 3-year-old that is potty training. So it has been.
You tell them to get their shit together.
Yeah, their schedules must be so crammed. Sorry, my bad. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Crazy here.
We'll get them on board soon enough. Okay, we'll give them a little time.
That's right. We'll give them a little time and then we'll put them to work. Right. The minions behind the scenes. That's what I'm talking about. So this week's episode of the Dynasty Happy Hour is brought to you by the Sit or Start app, an absolutely one-stop shop app for all your fantasy football needs. You can find it on the Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. Just search Sit or Start right on there. When you sign up, use code GURUS. From Sit or Start is player comparison. So last year they did over 100,000 player comparisons and had a 69%. Nice. Hit rate and success rate with their comparisons. And this year they are logging in crazy numbers. I know there was one day earlier last week where they had 4,000 comparisons alone in one single day. So the app is really taken off. They just added red zone information, third down information, and they've got updates that are rolling out every single week. Jason and his team of Jason does a phenomenal job at Sit or Start.
Sounds familiar.
Yes, he does a phenomenal job with the application and getting it out there. So make sure that you download Sit or Start. And they're actually doing a contest right now, too, for a pair of tickets to an NFL game middle or end of the season. And if you use code DHH on there as well, you get two entries. So make sure you go down to your app store, download that today, code DHH. Let's go. All right, we are going to roll into the slate of games and give you some quick hitting observations from each one of these lovely, lovely games in week two. So I'm going to start off with Thursday night, boys. The Texans versus the Bengals, 13-9, pretty much a big snoozer. I think the big story in this one was Deshaun Watson getting the start and kind of showing us what he's all about in his debut. He did rush for a long touchdown, which he looked pretty good on, but outside of that, I wasn't overly impressed. And then Cincinnati, they just fired their offensive coordinator, so things are looking up for them. Hopefully Joe Mixon gets some more touches and John Ross doesn't get benched after an unfortunate fumble where he did look really fast. So do you guys have any comments on either one of those things here for Texans-Bengals?
Andy Dalton needs to get his act together. I mean, all the haters are coming out. AJ McCarron, people are calling for his name, but people got to remember AJ McCarron isn't that great at football, as Joe is not great at podcasting either. But
whoa, where did that come from?
Oh, we heard the background music.
That can't be traced to me. That can't be traced to my computer.
Typical Italian saying that.
Hey. Hey, take a cannoli. Hey, get out of here.
It's a Petonio.
Jerk.
But yeah, Andy Dalton, better days are going to come. I wouldn't worry about him.
Yeah, I think he's set to rebound. Joe, any thoughts on Texans Bengals?
I just loved seeing Twitter like erupt over Evan Silva just destroying Deshaun Watson. He basically said that he didn't have NFL caliber tools or traits, and just like Twitter erupted. And he's not usually one, you know, for hyperbole or things like that, but he just kind of you know, spouted off, and everybody, all the Watson truthers, like, just were pissed. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I like it when Silva comes out and says stuff, because when he says it, people listen and then they get butthurt, like you said earlier off air. So we're going to go to the first game on Sunday here today as we're recording. It's the Baltimore Ravens 24, the Browns the lonely 10. Their only touchdown was scored by David Njoku, however. So look for him to be the best rookie tight end this year. I said it. It's going to happen. I think the big news of this one from a dynasty perspective for the Cleveland Browns was the rise of Rashard Higgins finally happened. This is a guy that I've liked for a little while now since he got drafted by them last year. And on the Baltimore side of the ball, it's Buck Allen seeing almost twice the amount of touches and snaps that Terrence West did. So, Tyler, talk to me a little bit about Buck Allen. Is he the real deal here in Baltimore? Is that someone that you're buying, holding, selling in Dynasty? What's your feeling?
Well, he looks like he has a little more oomph in his step than he did last year.
He's got more oomph, does he?
He's got more oomph. He's got more.
There's your analysis right there. He's got more oomph. Go out and trade.
Terrence West is a plotter. He's a between the tackles, first, second down guy. You can tell the pace is different with Buck Allen, is what I'm trying to say, Joe. Man.
Next level analysis.
But yeah, Buck Allen, I could see him getting more play. He's going to get the receptions, of course, but possibly see him eating into Terrence West in his carries. I still like West a little bit. He's going to be the goal line back for sure. But yeah, I mean, he didn't look too bad.
Yeah, and I'll give you my thoughts on Rashard Higgins really quick. So this is a guy
that...
I'd
love to hear those, by the way.
Thank you. And it's not because he has oomph, but Rashard Higgins... great college dominator coming out of school last year when the Browns picked him. They let him go and no one picked him up, so he's back on their practice squad. And then they signed him to the active roster this week after apparently not liking Kenny Britt and having some injuries. But this is a guy that Matt Harmon's reception perception he's graded favorably in. And I think that, you know, an opportunity, the Browns didn't have a slot receiver. I know they tried to use Duke Johnson there last week where he didn't receive any carries, but he actually had some carries and a sick one-handed catch this week out of Duke Johnson. But Rashard Higgins really was the breakout in this game, over 90 yards receiving, 7 receptions. And they were looking his way quite often, mostly when Kevin Hogan was in, but Kaiser was looking his way a little bit too. So if you're you know, looking for a waiver wire pickup this week in your deep dynasty league, I'm betting that Rashard Higgins is probably available, and I wouldn't hesitate to add him because he is a pretty good athlete, and he has the player profile behind him to really do something in this league. So I like Rashard Higgins quite a bit. So we're going to move on to the Bears, the battle of the giraffe versus Jameis Winston, the battle of the crab. Yes, it's the Animal Bowl here. The Buccaneers blew the doors off the Bears in this one, 29-7. I didn't think Mike Evans was going to have a big day against the Bears because they typically shut down wide receiver ones, but man, did he show me wrong.
Why do you have to say a draft? Because if Glennon has back freckles, that's spot on analysis right there.
I don't know. I've never seen him with a shirt off.
It's a lock that he has back freckles, by the way. Let's just end that debate right now. He has definitely got a huge mole on his back somewhere.
Hashtag sure. Back freckles.
Birthmark. His birthmark probably looks like a giraffe.
Probably. So the big news out of this one on the Chicago side of the ball, Jordan Howard, 9 carries, 7 yards. After the game, you could see him. He had his arm in a sling. He didn't want to talk to media. Ruh-roh! What's going on with Jordan Howard? Are you guys scared that he's like the next Zach Stacy?
Jeremy Hill?
It could happen. What do you guys think? Joe, what do you think about Jordan Howard? Are you trying to sell him while you can before his value goes completely through the basement, or are you holding?
Man, I'm holding at the moment because I still really believe in his running ability, but there's definitely
a red flag. He doesn't have that oomph this year, though.
The oomph, yeah. You know, it's all about a player's oomph, and if you don't
see that better?
But instead, you want to talk about the plotter. I don't understand that.
Like, our fandom hearing this, who I have to work with. I mean, I just
analysis the
site. Don't make me shut down this podcast.
Oh, guys, he's got extra oomph.
Oh, you know, DHH was just missing that oomph, so I had to shut down the site because we were just missing that.
I'll show you a bit of oomph.
Yeah.
Hello.
Tyler's a little saucy tonight.
Yeah, so Joe is a hold. Tyler, what say you on Jordan Howard?
I actually just traded him for Leonard Fournette, an 18 first, which should be late. I know the should be, and a should be middle second, and I'm happy with it. I got Fournette.
You just framed up that trade incorrectly. You traded Jordan Howard an 18 first and an 18 second for Fournette, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
that's what I meant, yes.
Thanks, Doug. You know,
misleading the listeners yet again.
Oh. I give him a little help with that. It's okay.
I know, it's fine. That's what I'm here for.
Extra oomph, that's all.
I'm here to steer the ship in the right direction.
You guys are crushing me.
This extra time that Tyler has that he can't get it right. I don't understand.
The devil's in the details, Joe. What can I say? So Buccaneers side of the ball, from a dynasty perspective, nothing really popped out to me except that Jaquizz Rodgers is going to have some value. So if you got him cheap in your dynasty drafts or you had him stashed on your roster, he gets 23 touches a game without Doug Martin there. So the jacuzzi was bubbling over with a touchdown this week.
I like that one.
Hashtag jacuzzi. So let's move on to Tyler's Minnesota Vikings. Versus the Steelers, 26-9, the Steelers won this one. No Sam Bradford. He had an issue with his knee, which is a little bit of a cause for concern. And Case Keenum took the start. So I think everyone downgraded Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in this one. Dalvin Cook had a couple nice runs and looked still pretty good against a pretty good defense here in Pittsburgh. I think the biggest thing for the Steelers was they were involving Juju Smith-Schuster. I loved it. They gave him that little pitch from the 7-yard line and he scored a touchdown. Tyler, do you see Juju getting worked into this offense as the season goes on?
I do. It looked like him and Eli Rogers lining up in the slot a little more. And they played a lot of 4 wide receiver set, which, you know, as a Juju owner, you like to see. He looks pretty good. I mean, he looks more involved than Treadwell was last year, which a little point, Treadwell looked actually good in this game. He looked very aggressive, was blocking, and had a couple nice catches. My last thing I want to say is Cook had a great game for what the plan was for Steelers defense.
Yes.
They were keying in on him. With Case Keenum, they probably weren't worried about the pass game. They were worried about Cook. Cook looked great to me. He still looks like a guy that is going to be a running back one for fantasy for years to come. The window is closing faster and faster to even be able to acquire this guy. So even if you have the possibility to, I tried to with Jordan Howard, I tried to go for him instead of Fournette. The owner's a Vikings fan, so that was literally nearly impossible to do. So my next was Fournette.
Yeah, and I really liked Martavis got back to normal after last week where they didn't really involve him that much. He had a nice reception along the near sideline and then scored a touchdown. So it was good to see Martavis get involved as well. I think that was a breath of relief for all the dynasty owners that have Martavis Bryant that were like, all right, he was suspended and then he came back. They didn't really involve him. So for him to put up some points this week was really, really nice. So let's move on to the Patriots versus the Saints, which was the highest scoring game pretty much on the slate. And it didn't hit its Vegas total, Joe. Ugh, so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, this was a interesting game to kind of watch with the totals and stuff. But yeah, but it was all Brady. All Brady. Mm-hmm.
All Brady. The big news from the Patriots standpoint, a couple injuries. Rex Burkhead left with a rib injury. He was really cooking in the first quarter. He had a nice touchdown reception from Brady. They were using him split out wide quite a bit as well.
So pissed about that.
I know. I love Rex Burkhead. And then Rob Gronkowski had an awesome game. But what does Rob Gronkowski do when he has awesome games? He goes out with an injury. It looks like he pulled his groin. They were talking here on local sports radio that he said that he was fine. So I'm hoping that's the case. But if you're a Gronk owner, this is what you have to deal with.
But the good thing is this is an area where Gronk has a lot of extra help, a lot of massage therapists, you know, that kind of help work him through these injuries after the game. So he's got a few.
I feel like Gronk literally just opens a can of PBR, pours it on his groin, and he's just like rubbing it a little bit. He's like, all right, we're good.
That's a great visual.
Yeah, thank you for that, Tyler.
Yeah, you're welcome. I know.
Nothing like some Pabst Blue Ribbon to pass the groin pain away.
Hey, PBR is not bad when you're pinching pennies.
I think I read that in the Farmer's Almanac, actually, that works. It could have been. I don't remember. So the Saints.
Did you read that, by the way?
No. Did we see anything on the Saints side of the ball that popped up? Mark Ingram's usage was really, really good in this game. I thought for sure they were going to use Alvin Kamara a ton and really, really gouge the Patriots linebacker core. They had one. He had one long completion along the far side, which was a dime throw by Drew Brees, and Kamara came down with it. And that was, I think, early in the second quarter. So I was pretty stoked about how they were using Kamara, and then they kind of tilted and used Ingram quite a bit. AP, he's toast. I don't even think he's going to be on this team at the end of October.
He had one good run. He did have one good run, and it was when he had a little tiny hole. He kind of bounced off the tackles a little bit, like a little ping pong ball. And then he got tackled on a 4-yard gain. That was his best run.
The problem with Peterson is that he's kind of supposed to be their Mike Gillisley, but they're not going to have positive game scripts. So that's the problem, is like their defense sucks.
He's going to be behind all the time.
Yeah. So it's really not looking good for him. I mean, if Gillisley was on the Saints, he'd kind of be in the same kind of problem, but he has positive game script. So if you can't help out in the passing game, if you don't help on special teams and things like that, you're just going to get like the short yardage carries, and they're not worth that much unless you're, you know, in positive game scripts.
And they have also got the Coon for that. So they could just throw him in and steal touchdowns away from him. So Peterson is obsolete.
Coon's dynasty stock is higher than AP's right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, I am going to ask Tyler with the hot takes.
Before we move on to the next game, I am going to ask you a question, and all I want is a yes or no answer from you. Are you guys concerned? The Patriots had three healthy receivers that suited up today. Brandon Cooks didn't have a great game. Are you guys concerned dynasty-wise with Brandon Cooks, yes or no?
No, I still think...
I asked for a short answer, just a yes or no.
No.
Joe, what about you?
No.
Okay, cool. All right, just putting it out there, because I know a lot of people are going to ask that question, because Cooks has had two disappointing games in a row now. So we're going to move on to the Eagles versus the Chiefs. It was 27-20. The Chiefs won this one. Kareem Hunt, is he the real deal? I'm still not sold.
He had one big run, but it was... I'm not going to say a nice run, because he had a gigantic hole.
The C parted, and that safety is the worst angle and pursuit I've ever seen.
So bad.
It was bad. It was really bad.
All Kareem Hunt had to do was run a little bit left to avoid him.
If you watch him from like different highlight videos, like the safety is like almost not even in the screen. All of a sudden he like runs straight up, and then he just moves a little bit to the side, and Hunt's gone.
So bad. But yeah, he was getting stuffed. I mean, the Eagles have a great front seven. That front seven is fast, physical. It's good. So
they have oomph, you know? They have a lot of oomph in that defense.
That Jim Schwartz oomph.
You know, yeah. I got a lot of oomph to just get you out of here.
All right. So, but yeah, I don't know, man. I think this game, like, he came out of this game with a better box score than, you know, I expected, but like you said, that it was kind of oomphed. It was like, you know, it just by that one long run, it was a little fluky. Yeah. But
now I
didn't expect one.
I want to give Joe his minute to talk about Carson Wentz. So yes. I'm going to back away. We're going to let him talk about Carson Wentz. I'm a fan of Carson Wentz. That's all I'm going to say. The floor is yours, Joe.
Okay. All right. So I'm getting excited, guys. I've been trying to hold
back.
All
right, Joe.
That was great talk. Great talk. I hope you can take all that away.
No. Let's hear it.
Man, so, I mean, I watched some of this game, and, you know, he's going into another tough situation, his second game on the road. He's, you know, in Kansas City, which is a tough place to play, and he looked good, man. He was let down a little bit by his receivers. Torrey Smith couldn't freaking catch a gold, like, you know, we always say, but man, he dropped another one in the end zone. He was kind of having some more receiver drops and struggles, but he's been looking good, man. If you're a Carson Wentz owner, you've got to be pretty happy with his start.
Yeah, I think Carson Wentz is a QB1 in the making. In Dynasty.
I mean, right now he's got like almost 700 yards, I think. You know,
well, he's throwing the ball 40 times a game. Let's look at the Eagles running backs, Corey Clement included, are not good.
How dare you?
That's right. I went there. Deal with it. LeGarrette Blount, Wendell Smallwood, Darren Sproles look pretty good in this game. But yeah, outside of that, until they get something at the running back position, Wentz is going to throw and throw some more to Aguilar, Jeffrey, Ertz, Torrey Smith. Ew. So yeah, I think Carson Wentz is a up and coming QB1. So if you're in a super flex league and you can get Carson Wentz for maybe an established veteran that you might not be in love with right now, like a Kirk Cousins, I think you might be able to pull that off with the right owner. So I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. So let's move on to the Tennessee Titans beating the living bejesus out of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 37-16. Jaguars side of the ball, that wasn't really anything special. Marquise Lee did have a nice bounce back game with 7 receptions. Leonard Fournette, they ran the ball a ton. I didn't see anything really special out of him today. But on the Titans, I was so stoked. I have Jonnu Smith in a deep dynasty league on my bench, and I was excited to see him score as kind of a little bit of a preview to what might come with Jonnu Smith as they work. You know, Delanie Walker is not a spring chicken, although he is still very effective. I think he's 33 years old. And then the big news injury-wise out of this one was Corey Davis leaving the game with a hamstring. And I also wanted to touch a little bit on Derrick Henry versus DeMarco Murray. So, Joe, do you think this is Derrick Henry's backfield now after today?
Man, I'm going to have to go back and, you know, usually I rewatch all these games, you know, a little bit more closely after like Monday and stuff, but I don't know. I mean, it's not encouraging. That's for sure. If you're a DeMarco Murray owner, but I don't know. I think if anything, it's still going to be a split.
Tyler, what say you?
Last year I was really promoting with Chris. The gaslight is coming on with DeMarco. You have to expect it. The usage is really getting up there. And like I said, the gaslight's on. How much longer do you have to take that car to where you want to go? And your chance.
Deep. That's really deep.
I told you to buy Derrick Henry while you could. The price was super low. People were getting down on him. The usage wasn't there for him. Now you see what he can do with more of a full workload. And
wait a second, I remember a couple episodes back we were talking about Derrick Henry and you were saying he looked like terrible.
He looks not slow in the preseason.
Athletic.
He did look slow in the preseason. So I saw a stat. So he faced 8-man boxes, I think 50% of the time today, and he still got 6.6 yards per carry, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at the tape on because I didn't see a ton of this game. So obviously yards per carry is a metric that I don't fully believe in. I'd rather see the visual on how he got there. But everything that I saw today is that, you know, Derrick Henry looked like the man in that backfield. So I think that's really, really interesting. And I think that's really good. If you know, you're not going to be able to buy him on the cheap anymore, like Tyler said, but if you have him, you have to be thrilled that he's the coming out party is finally starting to happen here in year two. And we obviously want to keep an eye on that Corey Davis injury if he's going to miss any kind of extended time. He's had hamstring issues in the preseason as well. So that might factor in there. And go get Jonnu Smith. That's my advice to you. I love that kid. So let's move on to one of the more boring games of the day. The Arizona Cardinals traveled to Indianapolis and beat the Colts 16-13. It was pretty much a snooze fest in this one. Jacoby Brissett Got the start for the Colts in his second week with the team. He actually didn't look terrible. Jack Doyle was like the only fantasy player to own in this one outside of Frank Gore getting a touchdown. There was no Marlon Mack that I really saw in this game from a dynasty perspective. And Moncrief, if you own him, you just got to bench him until you get Andrew Luck back. What do you guys think about that?
Yep. I am a huge Moncrief fan, and that is what I'm doing. He is breaking off coverage. I've watched a little bit of him personally. He looks good. He looks healthy. He looks fast. They said he lost weight this offseason to kind of give him that
extra
explosiveness.
I knew that was coming.
To give him like, that explosiveness again, which you saw his rookie year. And yeah, honestly, I think I'd buy low on Moncrief right now.
I think it's a perfect buy low window for Dante Moncrief right now. I think you're absolutely hit the nail on the head with that.
For what it's worth, didn't Brissett target Moncrief on a deep bomb like right when he came in the game last week?
It was like a more of like a Hail Mary-ish, like a heave-ho 50-yarder that Moncrief came down with.
Isn't that Moncrief a deep bomb?
Moncrief has hops.
Yeah, sure. But it wasn't like a right. Route.
No, I get what you're saying.
Hail Mary type of play. Yeah. It wasn't a designed play, I don't think.
Gotcha.
Moncrief's a great athlete. So yeah, he went up and got it, which was nice. Cardinals side of the ball. I think everyone was interesting to see how they were going to use the backfield. Chris Johnson looked a lot better than Kerwin Williams. Just going to put that out there. And then the big game from a fantasy perspective out of this one was J.J. Nelson, who was one of my DFS write-ups. Let's go.
Jamarcus. Yeah,
I actually took out, I forgot who I took out, but I actually put in J.J. Nelson where I had him. Love it. Good call.
Yeah, I started J.J. Nelson over Brandon Marshall in the league this week because I have stones.
I benched Stephon Diggs and picked up Jamarcus Nelson and put him in the starting lineup. So that was awesome.
That's a stones move too.
I know. It probably normally would have backfired.
I had a Stephon Diggs sub with Martavis Bryant. I subbed Diggs for Bryant. So a kind of little baby stones.
No, those are just stupid stones.
I think J.J. Nelson. So I saw a stat that he scored in 7 of his last 8 games now. So J.J. Nelson, man, he might not be sexy. I know he's small, but
160 pounds.
He hits the home
160
run.
Pounds.
Yeah, and with Carson Palmer's deep ball skill set and no John Brown, fire up J.J. Nelson is what I say. So he's a great depth play, especially in Dynasty. So let's rock that out. So let's move on to the absolute worst game of the day. I'm going to put it out there. The Carolina Panthers won 9-3 on a grand slam. But no, I'm just kidding. It was terrible. The big news in this one for everyone, Greg Olsen broke his foot. And I feel terrible because going into the season, I was all about Greg Olsen in the tight end rankings because he's Mr. Consistent. He hasn't missed a game, I don't think, ever. Or at least from the last like 6 or 7 years, he hasn't missed a game. So he breaks his foot. He's out indefinitely. So that's a huge blow to the Carolina Panthers. But I think that's good news here in the future for Christian McCaffrey because one less pass catcher, and they don't have crap at the tight end position unless they put Funchess at the tight end. Just kidding. He actually had a decent game today. But Cam Newton didn't look all that great in this game again. Jonathan Stewart. McCaffrey got most of the snaps yet again. Are you guys seeing a window where people might get frustrated with McCaffrey and you might want to try to buy him? I mean, it's early in his career, but people overreact to everything.
I would have a hard time because McCaffrey truthers are just like super hardcore. So I don't think there's going to be too many frustrated owners.
Okay. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah. McCaffrey truthers, like Joe said, they are hardcore. Like they are extreme. Yeah,
they listen to EDM and all sorts of.
Man, it is
for sure.
McCaffrey.
It's either McCaffrey or you're dumb. Like that's pretty much what it is. Well, like if you go on Twitter and you just say, "I hate McCaffrey," don't tag anybody in it. Nothing. Say, "I don't believe in McCaffrey."
Oh, the vitriol will flow.
Guaranteed, you'll have like 30 comments. Like they're all just like, hey, over here, here's one. Over here, come on, let's go.
I posted on Twitter like a while back, like in training camp. It was like him getting his Carolina Panthers like powder blue like jersey, and I had like a Smurf meme or something like that right next to it. Dude, everybody was like trolling me hardcore. I was just a joke, but man, McCaffrey truthers are like they're vicious.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's go to the Bills side of the ball where it was. a rough day for LeSean McCoy, Tyrod Taylor, Charles Clay. I did like at the end of the game, I watched that last drive on Red Zone, and Tyrod Taylor was targeting Zay Jones quite a bit. He had a really tough – Tyrod Taylor had him open on a post-corner route that if he caught it, I think he might have scored on it, and he just overthrew it a little bit, and Zay kind of twisted in the wind, and he couldn't come down with it on the very last play of the game. But the confidence was nice that they have in Zay Jones, and they targeted him more in this game than they did in the first week. So I like Zay Jones as like a wide receiver three, possibly coming in as he learns the offense a little bit more and gets more comfortable with Tyrod, because, I mean, they have Jordan Matthews, who's okay, but outside of that, man, they don't really have anything. I mean, LeSean McCoy, they used him a lot in the passing game with 6 receptions today, but the Carolina defense looked pretty good. The Bills just looked completely inept, so there's not really much from a dynasty standpoint there outside of Zay Jones, I think. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. All right, let's move on to the blowout of the week, and that was the Oakland Raiders at home, 45 to the New York Jets 20. Let's start with the Jets. There's two things that I want you guys to talk about here. One is Bilal Powell, because I think he was one of the more overhyped running backs going into the draft process, not only in Dynasty, and he's 29 years old, which kills me because I think people forget that. And Jermaine Kearse off the street. Well, not off the street because they traded him, but, you know, kind of a second thought in Seattle. You know, he's never made any good plays except for that one play he made in the Super Bowl against the Patriots where he caught a ball on his back. But he scored 2 touchdowns today. Are you guys like, you think he's a good dynasty option, Jermaine Kearse? Tyler, talk to me.
You don't have to be the prettiest guy in the bar. You just have to be the only guy in the bar. You know, you hear that a lot. And that's where Kearse is coming in. And when you said he's coming off the street.
Is that how you met your wife, Tyler?
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot. Story I heard.
Money with alcohol can do many things. No, he's going to get volume play, and it seems absolutely like McCown likes him, which is always a good thing because he targets one guy all the dang time until he's hurt. So that's always good. Yeah, and with Powell, I kind of was the person to believe he's going to get a lot of pass catching opportunities. Mm-hmm. Forte is a freaking cock block in that aspect because, man, it's like, get out of here, old man. Go to a contending team. What are the Jets doing?
Go to the slightly yet less old man with Bilal Powell at 29.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We're bringing some Elijah McGuire. That's what I want to see.
They played them. The Jets are just gross. We shouldn't waste too much effort on them.
Yeah. They're like the NFL team version of beer goggles.
We have a few of those freaking teams this year, and they're annoying me.
Yeah. Do you think the Jets, like when they're like J-E-T, do you think like they start like gagging or like getting a little vomit? Like,
they might puke up a little bit of mom's spaghetti. Yeah.
With the gravy, right, Frank?
Oh, did you guys see anything on the Raiders side of the ball that stood out to you? I mean, Jalen Richard had a couple touchdowns in this game. It's kind of like we're up by 3 touchdowns, so let's put Jalen Richard
Crabtree with 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, ooh, he beasted out. Yeah,
I mean, good. I feel like that's like Crabtree being like, hey, Cooper, this is how you catch touchdowns.
That's very, very true,
dude. The Cooper truthers are going to come out too, man. Watch out.
Yeah, where's Ryan McDowell? He's going to be right on me.
He's going to stick a trident right in your chest.
Probably. It would not be. He's probably here somewhere.
You better look around for him. He's crazy like that. All right, so let's move on to the next game. The Miami Dolphins 19, the Chargers 17.
Yes.
The Chargers could just as easily be 2-0 instead of 0-2, but I think they might need to get a new kicker because now they're 0-2.
Nice.
Yes.
Tyler is loving that one.
The stupidest jokes will get me.
every time. He's like a lemming when it comes to stupid jokes. So the Dolphins.
He's leaning back. Wow. He's about to fall off his chair.
So the three-headed monster of the Dolphins in fantasy, I think, all looked pretty good today. Jay Ajayi at 28 carries, 122 yards. He looked pretty electric a lot of the time, you know, evading tacklers. When he gets hit, he just keeps moving. I know everyone was like, oh, he's got a knee issue this week. Oh, remember, he has a bad knee, blah, whatever.
Yeah. Screw you, Jay Ajayi haters. That's all I got to say, okay?
Yes. And Jay Ajayi haters.
78.1 elusive rating per PFF, which last year he led the league in elusive rating at 76. So in your face, Jay Ajayi haters.
I'll tell you one thing. He is from England. Am I right?
He does have a British accent, so I think you're probably right. Yeah, I think
usually they're more calm people. He seems a bit ill-tempered.
Maybe it's the Americas are rubbing off on him.
An ill-tempered runner.
He seems...
Oh, very... cheerio. I'm going to score a touchdown. Pip, pip.
It's like Dr. Evil. Oh, are they ill-tempered?
I just want to score freaking touchdowns.
He's just freaking good, and people don't get it. I don't know.
He's a mean dude, and I don't blame people for not tackling him. I wouldn't want to.
No, he runs with anger, which I like. So the other two pieces... I was like a hard fade on Jarvis Landry in this game. I didn't start. I don't own him anywhere, but I told people not to start him. So sorry to those in PPR leagues. He ended up with double-digit receptions for like 70 yards, which is just classic Jarvis Landry. But I didn't think Jay Cutler would target him a ton. I thought that Devontae Parker would get a little bit more work. That one catch that Parker had over Casey Hayward's head was an absolute man catch. Did you guys see it?
No, I need to go back and watch it.
So Parker's running down the near sideline. Cutler underthrows the ball just a little bit. Parker has Hayward in front of him, and he literally reaches over the top of Hayward and plucks the ball off the top of his helmet.
Well, he's got freaking pterodactyl arms. Like, oh, the dude's got 80 or 82 inch wingspan.
It's large. Yeah,
that's gross.
And Parker, I was just like, it was shades of Alshon is what it looked like. I know he gets that comp,
but he's faster, right?
According to Spoken Jay, yes, he is. But no, Parker looked good. I knew he had a couple short receptions too, but he finished with 85 yards, only on four catches. But I think the light has finally turned on for Parker, and I think that this is the year. So if you see a small window, I know he didn't score today, but if someone is by chance selling Devontae Parker in Dynasty, I think you need to jump on it now because the breakout is coming. If maybe they're like, I've had him since his rookie year, he hasn't done anything, and they're willing to move him, I'd give up a 2018 first for him, I think. What do you guys think on that? Would you give up a 2018 first for Parker?
The only 18 first I want is 101 because freaking Saquon Barkley is geez.
I want the 1-2. I like Geis better, but that's another show.
That's our off-season show.
So. But yes, that's a little taste for sometime in the winter. So I like the Dolphins. I think their offense looked pretty good overall today. I know they didn't score a ton of points, but I think as Cutler gets more comfortable in that system, I think it might be fins up for the Dolphins here. On the Chargers side of the ball, Keenan Allen, what can I say? If you didn't buy low on Keenan Allen in the offseason, it's biting you in the ass right now. 10 receptions. He's getting all the targets just as we thought he would. He looks great. He looks faster than he did last year. He's just a clean route runner, great hands. I know he had a couple drops against Denver last week. But Keenan Allen to me really stood out in this game. And the other thing that stood out to me that I want to have you guys talk about. So we talked about Jay Ajayi looking great. There's a lot of people out there that think Melvin Gordon isn't all that great. Are you in that camp? Or are you out of that camp? I personally think Melvin Gordon's a good player.
I want to bring this up because I thought of this the other day. Running backs aren't what they used to be. AP, Jamaal Charles getting the 5+ yard per carry average, which, Doug, I agree. It's a way overrated stat.
Oh, big time.
And that is what people look to be like, oh, he's good. He's not good. Well, the NFL has changed. If you have a guy that runs on first and second down and catches the ball, he is going to score you a ton of points. He's going to get you touchdowns on the goal line. That is what you want. Todd Gurley is a great running back. He's a running back one because he gets volume play. Melvin Gordon, he is a running back one because he gets volume play.
Kareem Hunt
gets volume play as long as they don't bring anybody in next year.
We're not worried about that for any of those other guys, though.
No.
Okay, just checking.
Because Melvin Gordon, 17th overall draft pick. Todd Gurley, 10th overall draft pick. That matters. They are going to get more opportunity.
Traded up to get Kareem Hunt.
I am not bringing Kareem Hunt into this. I'm not talking about him anymore.
I know. Go ahead.
Jeez. I swear Joe's got Kareem Hunt boxers on. Or no,
I don't. I'm just defend.
He's creaming his jeans over there.
Defend it like because I know how much of a hater you are. That's all.
When did I ever say I was a hater?
We had like a 30-minute discussion about it. But hey, let's keep going. Sorry.
Can we talk a little bit about a bounce back game by Hunter Henry too?
Yeah.
After putting up that bagel in week one, he looks really good.
By the way, Antonio Gates scored that touchdown. Hunter Henry is going to beast now. Like, we have been waiting for this touchdown. And now
Did he retire yet?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for him to say, yeah,
Just get on his little what do they call those things? The little white horse? No, the little putt-putt little things you see at like Walmart. The scooters.
Like golf cart,
a rascal,
yeah.
A rascal. Thank you, Tyler, for saving me. Yes, I will see him get on a little rascal and just throw up deuces and putt his way out of the stadium
using like the claw, like on his recliner to like pick up stuff because he can't
catch that touchdown pass.
And then when he's got to go pick up the football to take it back home, he's got his walker with the tennis balls on it.
He's like Carl Fredrickson from Up at this point, I think.
Yes, pretty much.
All right, let's move on to the next game. This was another barn burner. The Seahawks won 12-9 over the San Francisco 49ers. On the Niners side of the ball, I want to talk a little bit about Matt Breida. Carlos Hyde had a really good game. He had a 61-yard run, but he looked really good. And I've been buying Hyde up until the draft season, and I've got Hyde in a bunch of different spots. I know he's a free agent, so he might not re-sign with San Francisco, but I think he's given them every reason to re-sign. Everyone was like, he's not a pass catcher. That's not in his skill set. Yeah, whatever. He looks fine. So Carlos Hyde had a really good game here, but I was really I saw a couple of the runs that Matt Breida had, and he was evading tacklers, bouncing off of people. And that's a guy that if you're in a dynasty league that I want to own, he might even be on your taxi squad if you're in a really deep league. But if Hyde goes down with an injury, like, Braid is the dude there. And he would immediately become a hot pickup. So
I'd get work.
Yeah, Matt Breida would get a ton of, and he's a perfect skill set for what Shanahan wants to do. So I like Matt Breida. On the other side of the ball, the Seahawks, I think it was the big talk is Chris Carson. 21 carries, 93 yards. Eddie Lacy was an inactive for this game.
He is
avocado toast.
He doesn't even eat avocados. They're too healthy.
The fats are too good for him.
So much for that like fish diet we were like hoping for him. Like, remember we were talking diet about?
Yeah, that you know what the thing about the fish is? It stinks from the head down like Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, you know it's not a fish diet when you dip it in beer batter and you fry it.
That's a great point.
Oh my god.
I did see
He's just sitting there. What? You said fish.
Like, Eddie, not drenched in butter and fries.
And tartar sauce.
But I did have one other thing from a dynasty perspective that I saw in this game. Another continued targets for Amara Darboh. He looked at him across on the sideline, the far sideline, in one of the plays, and he got a defensive pass interference call on it. But to me, if Tyler Lockett or Paul Richardson, not exactly the pictures of health here, go down, I think Amara Darboh could have a nice role in this offense. I know that going into the draft process, he showed well at the combine. He's big, he's strong, he's got nice hands. So that's a name to keep in mind. If you're in a deep league, I would pick him up and stash him. Tyler, you are you an Amara Darboh guy?
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he looked very good for Michigan last year. Mm-hmm. And he was Harbaugh's guy. Harbaugh loved him. He was pretty much that passing offense for Michigan. And yeah, like you said, he opened a lot of eyes in the combine. Nobody thought he was going to show up athletically like that. And yeah, I think he's a stash. I have him stashed in probably three or four spots. And I'm excited because getting this type of playing time, they like Richardson, they like Lockett, but getting playing time right now and the fact that they traded Curse, mm-hmm. Do you guys maybe think it's because they got a guy like Darboh, who is a big athletic guy?
Absolutely.
Like Curse. And they feel comfortable with him. I mean, they took him in the third round, I think.
I think it was the end of the third, yeah.
Yeah, and that's nothing to turn your head at. So I like Darboh.
But Tyler, they didn't trade up to get him in the third.
Oh.
Yeah, then make sure you differentiate, okay?
Dude, didn't think about that. Oh.
Yeah, so he must be trash then.
Oh, I mean, we noted it about, Dalvin Cook and stuff. So I figured, maybe you should be, consistent.
So I think the rule of thumb in this one is stash Amara Darboh, stash Matt Breida if they're available in your leagues. And I would even say I saw Trent Taylor get some run today for the Niners.
I have him stashed in a lot of places. I like him. Yeah,
I have him in a couple spots too. I think he's that great shifty slot guy that would work really well in that offense.
Jameson Crowder-esque.
And that's a really good transition, because the next game that I wanted to talk about was the Redskins over the Rams, 27-20. In this one, I got to say I fanboyed out just a little bit. There was a fake punt play where my boy Johnny Hecker passed it to number 83, Josh Reynolds, and I geeked out. I was watching the game with my cousin Christopher, and I geeked out. He's like, "What's the problem?" I go, "That's Josh Reynolds. That's my guy. He just caught a pass." I was so excited. I was really, really excited for that. I think the big news on the Rams side of the ball was obviously Gurley leaping over defenders, scoring touchdowns, he actually averaged over 5 yards a carry. Oh God, people are going to turn on fire. It's crazy. So I think Gurley was the story here. On the other side of the ball, Redskins, big injury in this one was Rob Kelly going down with a rib injury, which looks like it might take a couple weeks. And Samaje Perine, if you're listening to this podcast, here's the deal. This is your opportunity to seize this job and never, ever let it go.
He knows it too. Like, deep inside, he hears us. He's like,
21 carries, 67 yards. There was a few that his line wasn't doing him any favors. He kind of ran into a wall, but he did show some wiggle. He got small through the hole. He bounced it outside on one of the plays and looked really good. So I'm praying, because I don't own Rob Kelly really anywhere, and I could care less, because I've been a Perine guy since like day one. So I'm hoping that he comes out with his head on fire. Not literally, because that would be dangerous. but I'm hoping that Perine comes out and really grasps this job. I have him in a couple dynasty leagues, and nothing on the earth would make me happier than to see Samaje Perine excel as a starter.
That offensive line looked like it was playing better too of the Redskins. They didn't look great. Maybe we were missing something and the Browns knew it. Kind of like with Trent Richardson when they traded him to the Colts. Maybe they knew something that we didn't know about Pryor, because Pryor does not look good at all.
Everyone's been hard by still. I've seen people tweet out like, "Oh, don't worry about Pryor. He'll be good." I don't own him. I own him in Scott Fishbowl, and that's it. But everyone's been like, "This is your buy low on Pryor. This is your," and I agree. He had a couple pretty egregious drops in this one. And I know drops are, you know, they're not like an end all be all, but he just didn't look dynamic.
Well, I was actually going to transition to talk about the best running back on the Redskins roster, which was Chris Thompson. But
if you guys
want to talk about, you know, other guys, that's fine. But Chris Thompson, guys, Pryor's going to, he's a little rusty right now, so I'm not really sure what to do with that.
Why is he rusty? Like, why? Last year, he has no reason to be
rusty.
Was
he sitting in water for too long? Is he made of metal?
Okay, not rust. Let's say just him and Kirk Cousins are just not.
There you go. I believe that.
That's what I meant to say. But yeah. But let's talk about Chris Thompson, guys. This is my guy. This
a man who deserves it. Chris Thompson.
Two touchdowns this game.
Florida State going on.
Touchdown last game as well. He's doing pretty well. And I mean, he did drop like another touchdown today. So I mean, he would have had like three. But yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, I like Chris Thompson as your PPR, especially if you're in PPR leagues.
Now yeah. I have to gloat about this trade that I made with John Bosch, who is a great guy. I actually traded Todd Gurley in, it's called our Bar Tab League, and it's kind of like Capital's Pigs, where you have a bunch of money, and he had a lot of money, and he wanted Gurley, and he offered me, it was 200 plus 50 of next year's cash, and I was like, I need Chris Thompson in the deal. And he's like, well, so he took some money off, and he's like, that's what I'd do. I'm like, nope. I need Chris Thompson with that. I was very stubborn. John knows how I work with trades. I stick to my gut. And he finally accepted it. And he told me, he's like, I hate giving up Chris Thompson because he looks good. He looks like a guy that is going to score a lot of points. And I think he got pretty close to what Gurley got.
So you bullied him into it, is what you're saying.
You strong-armed
him. You are a trading bully.
Can I tell you, John Bosch is not a guy that you can strong-arm. He is a very intelligent man.
Way to talk him up. Talk him up after you bashed him about the trade. Just like, he's a really smart guy, but I smoked him.
But I swindled that son of a bitch.
You guys hear this? They're putting words into my mouth.
You can say whatever you want to say, but
we're coming out with more oomph this week for you, Tyler.
This, John is a smart, savvy manager that I swindled in this trade. Let me just brag about how awesome I am.
I just said
I had more fleece than Old Navy in there.
It's getting like freaking Midas touch. Tyler loved that joke. Wow, dude, you are killing him tonight. You are killing Tyler tonight. I don't know if he's going to be able to recover.
I don't know.
More flea.
He is red. Doug, this is your night. I would throw every dad joke you have.
I would be a stand-up comedian if the whole audience was just a bunch of Tylers. I would kill.
Oh, my God.
That was so good.
Oh, that would be.
Where's my book? I need to write these down.
Take notes, kids and dads
except,
out there.
Except my delivery. My delivery would be terrible.
I can't wait for you to try to use that
one. The wrong time. To be like, talk about this food, man. This food tastes terrible. Yeah, and there's more fleas than Old Navy, right?
you'll use like a different store and botch
it. Totally unrelated, like, yeah. Like, it doesn't even sell fleas. Yeah, it's got more fleas than a scuba store. Stupid.
Oh my God.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Rams. So Todd Gurley, I know we were talking about if you should buy or sell Gurley. I still think you obviously want to keep an eye on the situation. He looked better this week, and they're using him a ton in the passing game. And like we talked about Melvin Gordon, it's all about volume. So I think I'm a hold on Gurley. I know his October schedule coming up is pretty brutal on paper. But if he's still getting 20 carries a game, he's going to be an RB2 for you. And he's still young. He's still electric. They can only get better. So I think he's become a hold for me. I actually shopped him in one of my dynasty leagues, and I just couldn't get the price that I wanted for him. So I am holding him close, and I'm going to let him guide me to victory this year.
I do want to revert back to last podcast where I said I'm selling. I actually rewatched the tape and talked to Adam Spinks, who is the running back scout. I watched the tape and I was talking with him, and I'm like, he looks way more electric than he did last year. And I got caught up box score watching, which was my fault. I am the victim to it last week. Yes, I went back and watched the tape the day after. I like what I saw. They used him. He is never coming out of that game. I mean, it's him. And that I wish they would, to get him some rest, catch his breath, go out there at full strength. But yeah, I mean, I like what I see this week. He looked way better than last week, and I liked what I saw. So yeah, even if you find a non-believer, I'm actually holding, buying. And the only reason why I did that trade with John is because I want Equanimeous St. Brown. So
what did Spinks have to say about Gurley?
He said he looked good. The Colts game, he got hit, I think it was 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage a bunch of times. He had two or three runs that were called back from penalties that were 12 plus yards. So yeah. His game script could have been the same as this week.
Yeah. So let's move on. We got two more games from today. We've got the Broncos, I wouldn't say a shocker, but winning at home 42-17 over the Dallas Cowboys.
Way to go, Cowboys.
Zeke looked meek in this one. It was not a good day for Zeke Elliott. Dak Prescott threw a couple picks against that really good defense. I know Jason Witten, your dad runner extraordinaire, with 10 catches. Oh, wow. And Dez actually caught a touchdown in this one, and he had a ton of targets. So for me, I think the big takeaway was Zeke. He looked great in week one, but he just couldn't get it going at all. And I thought Denver's really the biggest, weakest part of their defense was their front seven, but they looked really, really good at home. The Broncos, I dislike CJ Anderson, but he proved me wrong again this week.
He looked good.
He scored 2 touchdowns. I know. Jamal Charles actually looked pretty decent too. So if you're in a dynasty league, win now, and you want some running back depth, I don't mind Jamal Charles at all, because you know CJ Anderson is going to get hurt. And that reminds me, Devonta Booker should be back soon. So make sure you buy Devonta Booker now, because I swear to God, at some point in the season, he's going to win you games.
I thought it was funny. I was watching that game when I was at work, and Jamal Charles came out of the game, and he took his helmet off, and he was like shaking his head. His dreads were flying all over, and I'm like, uh-oh, hurt already. No, he was just smiling. That's how bad his injury history is. When I think, since he took off his helmet on the sideline and was just kind of waving his hair around, I thought he was instantly injured. Like, this running back core is, like Doug said, very injury prone. Devontae Booker even could be on free agencies. Like, he could be on the waiver.
It's possible. I would scoop him up in a cocaine heartbeat.
That's pretty quick.
That's very quick.
The grade of coke that you've acquired.
Okay, yeah, it could kidding. Be like cherry, kidding, cherry coke leave it, or coke
leave it zero. Leave it to the Italian.
Yeah, I'm
obviously, hey, we're done with the podcast, guys. You want to do a bump? Hey,
gotta stay up somehow, guys.
That's
you know, a joke, guys. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. Speaking of staying up, Joe, I actually went to a gas station one day, and I'm like, man, I'm super tired. I had two energy drinks. The guy across the counter, who's working at the gas station, looks at me. He's like, "Yeah, you know what actually do good? Meth." I'm like, "What?"
Oh my God.
I was like, I looked at him, I'm like, I'll just stick with these. I'm good.
That was a wise decision, Tyler.
As he's tweaking out.
Oh man. It was quite funny.
Yeah. So do you guys have any other observations from this game? I didn't really see too much that struck my fancy outside of Zeke really struggling and
just Simeon looked pretty good. I mean, he had
He did. He had four touchdowns. Trevor Simeon's outscoring a lot of these good veteran quarterbacks in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders looked really good. Demaryius Thomas looked pretty good. I mean, it just, you know, it was a good matchup.
I was going to say, then you remember, oh yeah, it's the Cowboys secondary that lost Awuzie.
Barry Church.
Yeah.
They lost like three starters in their secondary. And like
Morris Claremore.
Know. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about this game. They lost people.
Oh, well, that's even worse. Yeah.
RIP to those we've lost in that game today. So let's move on to the last game of today, and that just went final. It's the Atlanta Falcons versus the Green Bay Packers. Atlanta won this one 34-23. That says the score was closer. It really wasn't. The Falcons pretty much blew out the Packers in this
one. But we all know Atlanta, they like to give up like 14 or a bunch of points in the fourth quarter. And
yeah, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball 55.
I don't know what you're referring to, Tyler, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, they ran the ball 15 times. They threw it 50-0. Jordy Nelson went out in the first quarter with some sort of lower body injury. They don't know if it was necessarily knee related.
Grab a PPR. Just grab a PPR.
Yeah, grab a PPR. Yeah, grab a PBR and pour it all over that some bitch. It'll get better. So no Jordy Nelson. Ty Montgomery was the hero in this one. Two touchdowns. 110 total yards from scrimmage. I heart Ty Montgomery. That window is slammed shut to buy him close.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
To buy him low. It's over. You got to pay the iron price if you want to get Ty Montgomery.
Remember 2 weeks ago when I sold Isaiah Crowell for Montgomery?
Ooh. Oh, genius move. Crowell is not a big Crowell fan at all.
I thought that offensive line was supposed to be good, by the way. The Browns.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It was good on paper, but do they play football games on paper?
You could.
I mean, I guess you play like what's that electric
paper football? Paper football?
That's true. Let me set up that field goal.
What is that game called that you play football with paper? Oh man!
Oh my God!
I'm awesome. such a plebe. That's okay. So Devontae Adams had a nice game, 99 yards and a touchdown on 8 receptions. So pretty much status quo there. I will go deep and say that Trevor Davis. So for you dynasty guys that want a deep taxi guy, Trevor Davis, 1 catch, 9 yards. Geronimo Allison blew a route and Rodgers threw an interception on it. Trevor Davis is a speedster guy that I could see being, you know, a part of an elite offense that could eventually pay
Jared Goff's favorite target at Cal.
Yeah, so I like Trevor Davis quite a bit, and I have him on a couple taxi squads, so I would recommend maybe putting him out there if you have space for him as a nice stash. Atlanta side of the ball, it was pretty much Devonta Freeman, Julio, the same old characters
Coleman.
No Austin Hooper. Ugh.
Yeah, I was disappointed that Hooper kind of was in the pooper in this one. I thought he was going to get like six.
Hey, what the hell?
Tyler's laughing again. I thought he was going to get like 6 or 7 catches for like 80 yards and a touch. But
dude, Tyler, you're putting him out. He's going to be on IR.
I'm tired.
Austin Hooper. It was a big old clang off the rim for Austin Hooper in this one.
Oh my gosh!
Have a slam dunk.
Can we talk about last week's like dad runner status of Austin Hooper? He looked like freaking the next Jason Witten, man.
I talked to Joe about this, for sure, and man. A man that's 6'6", 260 pounds, running 88 yards is going to look slow.
He's gonna get gassed.
Yeah, by 20 yards, he's done.
Dude, Jason Witten could have torched him on that one. I mean, like he was like,
"You shut your whore mouth, Joe."
That is terrible.
I love Hooper. I'm just saying, I was surprised at how slow he looked.
Rotoviz, are you listening? You got to take that article down because he's bashing Austin Hooper.
He doesn't
well,
stand.
Well, in my
he
article, I did his give articles. Him. I talked about his athleticism, his athletic profile, and I stated he wasn't like an elite athlete, but he was a very good athlete. And he kind of like, you know, along the Chris Cooley, Zach Ertz trajectories.
Cooley
of, like,
wasn't that fast.
And if you look at like his agility and things like that, like he was, there were.
Hey, small. He was listed as a running back in his rookie year in Yahoo.
And yeah, it was like a H-back. Yeah.
It was awesome. You could flex him all over the place. It was sweet. Anyway.
I yeah. flex all over the place.
Yeah, you do, bro. Yeah, you do. One thing you do. Whoa, and so does Dougie. Look at that. Check it out.
Hey-o.
For all the lady listeners over there, Dougie is.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, you just said it. Listeners, they cannot see that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to give them a little anticipation, something to get excited about. So his bulging biceps, you know.
Oh my God. He's bulgy like a moose.
A keyword.
Oh, Tyler's losing it again.
The bulge.
I love it.
Like a moose. Bulge. Like a moose knuckle.
Bulgy like a. Oh Jesus. I'm swift like a ninja foot. All right. So that's going to wrap us up for our game review for this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. You guys have anything that you want to plug? Anything you got going on? Joe, you got any more Rotoviz articles coming on? What's going on?
Oh, I need to put a little more oomph into it and put out a couple more articles. But yeah, I will be soon. I will be soon. I won't ruin it.
Gotcha. Tyler, what's going on with you? You got anything going on?
I will be posting two articles a week for zone coverage. I will be posting a sit or stit. A sit or start.
I'll be posting or sit or stit.
Oh, it's oh, okay.
All this extra free time. He doesn't even know how to talk.
He forgot how to talk.
I will be posting an article, a sit or start article, and then I will be posting a recent news article on Friday for them. And you know, you got the podcast here working on other things. Yeah.
Great stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm twiddling my thumbs. Don't, you know, all this extra.
Well, you can find my work every Thursday. I write a DraftKings article for tffgurus.com, so you can check it out there. And I also host the Trophy Time podcast, which is also on TFF Gurus. So if you're a redraft centric, we talk about all the redraft stuff on there. So we got Dynasty here, redraft there. We cover all the aspects. And you can listen to my voice too. Even three times a week, because I do host a solo Guru Game Guidance podcast, which is a sit or start. I go through all the games, hit on all the players on who I like this week, who I dislike. So you can check me out there. And that's on Android, iTunes, much like this podcast is as well. So that's going to wrap us up this week. And we will be back in week three. So with that said, I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can follow me at DaFantasyFather. You can follow Joe at Paino. That's P-A-E-N-O on Twitter. And you can follow Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can follow him on Twitter and look out for all those scorching hot takes when it comes to the Dynasty. With that said, Tyler, close us out.
Until next week, if you guys have lost, remember, just crack open a can of PBR, pour it all over your sorrows, and there's always next week. Later.
That's all the time we have for you today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at DaFantasyFather. And finally, Joe at Paino, P-A-E-N-O. Check out rankings, articles, and more at DynastyHappyHour.com. Or follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
That's our new slogan. We're going to put it on shirts.
All right, guys. Until next week, wash, rinse, repeat.
We're going to put that on shirts.
Rinse it in PBR or something, you know? Wash that bad boy with PBR.
Oh, I can close this out with a nice, like, until next time, make sure to take a PBR, crack that sumbitch open, pour it all over your private parts, and get ready to win.
Oh, my God.
All right, we're going to start over. We
have scorched this one.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.